From Hobart and William Smith Colleges and The Herald, I'm Alex Kurai. Welcome to Career Journeys. On our show today is Aloisi Heredia Jarmuschuk from the classes of 1998. Aloisi is the Chief of Staff in the Office of the Deputy Mayor of Operations for the New York City Municipal Government. Previously, she served as the Chief of Staff for Operations with the New York City Education Department, helping with the largest school district in the country and over 1 million students. Before her work in government, Aloisi worked at NYU and on Wall Street for a decade. She's also the former Director of Institutional Philanthropy at the New York Women's Foundation. Aloisi has maintained ties with Hobart and William Smith by working with Career Services, serving as president of the William Smith Alumni Council, and currently as a member of the Board of Trustees. At the colleges, Aloisi was a political science major. We're very excited to have her on the show today by phone from New York. Aloisi, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's really exciting to have you on the show today. I think that you have a really cool and fascinating job. And I want to know first how you got to where you are today from Hobart and William Smith.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And it's been a long time since I was at the colleges, so about 20 years, and I've had a very varied career path. However, I think that everything that I've done professionally has sort of added up and worked and flowed in a way that has gotten me to where I am now professionally. There are definitely connections, even from my time at the colleges when I was involved in student government, to this role now that I have the privilege of serving in for the New York City municipal government. So there are a lot of connections. I graduated in 1998 and went into work at an investment firm in New York City. And I worked in IT for a few years. And that job led to a position at another investment firm where I was able to build a little bit more on my analytical and relationship management skills, and that led to a third job at another bank, and so on and so forth. I worked in finance for close to a decade, and then I took some time off in 2007 and pursued some personal interests. I started a film company, and a lot of the management skills that I had learned in the private sector and in the corporate world were definitely influencers in this sort of entrepreneurial endeavor of mine. And I did that for a couple of years, made a few films, executive produced a few films, learned how TV sets and film sets function and all the roles that everyone plays and how to finance, etc. And so we did that for a couple of years, and then I took some time off to start a family. And after being at home for a year, I decided that I wanted to go back to work, that I didn't want to be a full-time mom, that just didn't feel right for me. But it was great to be home with my son for the first year of his life. And then I wanted to do something a little bit different than working in finance. And I decided to take a position at a foundation that was focused on helping women and families and girls that were living at or below the poverty level have or find solid footing. And this foundation was really focused on women's equality and well-being, and I think that is a direct connection to William Smith. And then from there, I went on to take a job at NYU, and I worked as a chief of staff there for a couple of years. And after spending some time learning a new sort of line of business, an opportunity as a chief of staff opened up at the New York City Department of Education, and that was a tremendous opportunity for me to go and give back to New York City, where I'm from, and to work with in the interest of students, public school students. I was a New York City public school student, so there was a deep connection there. And I worked in operations there for a couple of years, and I ran a couple of programs, including lead in water, and I had oversight of a lot of programs, in particular an office that ran, had oversight of all New York City school buildings. And I know that doesn't sound incredibly, I guess it doesn't sound sexy, but a very important job to ensure that the 1,600 buildings that the New York City provides schooling in are functioning at a high level. And that job led to a lot of exposure with to a lot of commissioners and agencies across New York City, and partnering with folks. And was a highly visible job. And I had the good fortune that when the current mayor appointed a deputy mayor for operations, she was in need of a chief of staff. And look to me for that role, and I've been in that job now for a little over a year, and it's been pretty fantastic.
So it seems like you've really had a fascinating trajectory and career. So I'm wondering, kind of, what does it mean to be chief of staff for operations? What does it entail? Kind of, what are you kind of looking at and handling on a day-to-day basis?
So what it means is that I provide direct support and partnership to Deputy Mayor of Operations and to the mayor, and I'm the deputy mayor's second, and together we have oversight of about 25 agencies and programs. We coordinate the operations for agencies like the fire department, environmental protection, the Department of Transportation, the Department of Sanitation, the Department of Administrative Services, et cetera. So emergency management. The city is comprised of about 60 agencies, New York City is. That have a particular focus, they have a particular focus for helping the city run. And in our portfolio, we have about 25 of those, all of which are the operational agencies for the city. So if there is an emergency, in New York City, for instance, there was a heat wave last week, we have to make sure that all of our agencies are ready to deal with the needs of 8 million residents and visitors in the city. We want to ensure that there are cooling centers, that they understand that what the protocols are for being out in the heat, and that we're providing all the advisories and warnings that are necessary.
It seems like it is really a full-time, you know, 24/7 kind of job too. There's so much that you have to deal with every day with things that just kind of come up. So how do you, are you able to kind of balance work with other interests, with family and with life?
It's definitely an all-consuming job. We work around the clock. It is indeed 24/7. But with everything, you have to create some sort of balance for yourself. So I can't be everywhere all the time, and sometimes I don't get to do things that I would like to do, but I love my job. I love giving back to the city, and I make it work. So, for instance, I have a 8-year-old son. If he has something happening at school in the morning, I can work my schedule so that I could be present for his school activities. It might mean that I work a little bit later that evening, or that I come in earlier in the morning. But I definitely have a balance. It's not always easy, but I make it work.
I think it's also really important for a lot of students coming out of school at HWS to kind of look at that, and how are you how are you able to balance it all?
How do I make it work? It's part of, I love my job. And so I think it's really important to be very invested in what you do professionally. And if you are, that's sort of half of the battle, because I look forward to going to work every day. It is very challenging. I am a fixer and a problem solver. I love entanglement. And you would imagine that a city as large as New York, there are always problems and things to fix and address, and so I enjoy that a lot, and I also enjoy my family and value my personal time, and so I have to be very organized. I try to be at work at the same time every day. I try to get all of my work done within a specific schedule, and when I have to leave to be with my family or my son, I make sure that I'm able to do that. So I think that just being very, very regimented helps with balance. But I work hard. I will say that much. I work very hard.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you do. So what is a day-to-day schedule kind of like for you? I know we were talking about this a little bit before the interview, but how early do you even start your day?
I try to get up every morning around 5:30 a.m. either to exercise or so that I have some time to relax and get myself ready for the day, so that I'm not rushing and late. So I try to get up about 5:30. I'm generally out of our home by 7:45 or 8 in the morning. And a few mornings a week, I do school drop off myself for my son. Those days I get to work around 9. When I don't do drop off, I'm generally at work at about 8:15 or 8:30 in the morning. If I'm doing school pickups, I leave the office at 5:45 on the nose so that I could be hit my son's school at 6. And on the days when I don't do pickup after school, I can work as late as 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Wow, it is a full day. And is there, when there aren't really emergencies or things going on, you were kind of saying earlier that you're working with the deputy mayor on a lot of the basic kind of needs of a city, the operational needs of a city, from transportation to sanitation, everything in between. How do you kind of, are you in the field a lot in New York City, looking at things and examining sites with the deputy mayor, or how are you kind of going about examining these different areas?
So it depends on what we're working on. So we also do a lot of policy work, so all of that happens in the office. But we do a lot of site visits, especially if there is an emergency. So last year in July, there was a steam pipe explosion in the Flatiron District in the city. I was immediately on scene working with the emergency management office and Environmental Protection Department of Transportation to stabilize the area and ensure that it would be safe and reopened for our residents and visitors as soon as possible. So that would take me out of those kinds of situations, would take me out of the office. If on occasion we do site visits, I spend a lot of time in and out of the office. So we do a lot of site visits for different things. So if we're, right now we're looking at ways of how to fix the Brooklyn Queens Expressway. And I do site visits sometimes with our engineers to see what the cantilevers, how they're constructed, and to see how they're envisioning improving this massive roadway for the city. I occasionally, if we're building new roads in a particular area, I will go and visit that area to see, what it looks like before they break ground, so that we can get a full appreciation for what the impacts are going to be for the community. If we have major infrastructure programs, there are always public hearings. I occasionally attend those so that I can hear directly from community members. I spend a lot of time visiting with agencies. So our agencies are spread throughout all the five boroughs. So, for instance, I think about a week ago, I spent a lot of time at the Department of Information and Technology. I have an office job per se, but I'm not always in the office. But definitely always on the move.
It definitely makes it different each day. It makes you could be doing any number of things.
Yeah, no 2 days for me are the same ever. I have never had a boring day in the office. I can tell you that much.
That's really good to hear. And it definitely makes it exciting. I wanted to go back for a second because something you mentioned earlier on when we were chatting was you were both involved in student government at HWS, and that you were excited about the New York City job, the New York City municipal job, for being able to give back to the city. And I think that that's really a big theme kind of your career, but also of your time during and after HWS. I've been reading a little bit about you, and I think that it's really been cool to see how immediately after graduation you were getting involved with helping out with the Salisbury Center for Career Services and working with the alumni councils. What really made you want to kind of continue that relationship?
Well, I love the colleges. I jokingly always say that I've had it's been a 25 year love affair with the colleges. It's one of my favorite places on earth. It's so serene. I love sitting by the lake there on Lake Seneca. And I developed a lot of skills that have served me well in my life and in my career. And I really came up and grew up at the colleges. And I've been very, very fortunate. And I feel that a lot of that is a result of having graduated from Warren Smith. And I feel that it's both an obligation and an honor to give back in any way that I can. And so a couple of years after I graduated, I had an opportunity to join the Alumni Association. And I've been involved ever since. It's been really fun, and I enjoy it. I'm able to I guess it almost feels like being close to my roots. I'm able to visit a couple of times a year, and work on projects at the colleges and stay connected. So it's it's a nice continuation.
It's really good to have alums like you who continue to be involved in the colleges and making sure that it can kind of stay the same, but also evolve with the needs of current students. When you were a student here, were there any professors or people who were, you know, particularly helpful or mentors to you as well that kind of put you on this path?
Oh, there were absolutely a lot of mentors and really great professors, a lot of folks that I'm still in touch with, and some who have passed away since then, but are always, sort of fresh in my mind. The dean at the colleges when I was there was Deborah DeMeese, and she was very a strong and positive influence on me. There was another dean, Rosemary Curry, who I spent a lot of time with. I wasn't the best student when I was at the colleges, and she really helped me focus and understand my potential and helped develop me. So I'm always very, very grateful to her. When I was a junior or senior, I was able to teach a class with William Bayer when I was there, which was really fun, and it's nice to have kept in touch with him through the years, or at least to see him. When I was back on campus, and there are a lot of administrators who you wouldn't think off on the surface that are influencers, but that have been loyal members of the college's communities and staff for many years who are still there and certainly had a strong influence on me and because of their work ethic and commitment and dedication to the colleges. So there are a lot of folks.
You mentioned administrators and people who kind of are doing behind the scenes work. Is there something fulfilling about kind of being there, knowing that you're doing work to help the community, in your case, with the New York City community, and knowing that maybe a lot of people won't know that it was you who was doing it, but you're doing something great for the community as a whole?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the best part. So while what I do for work is very important and I would say critical, I'm definitely behind the scenes. You'll never read about me having done something. My work and my influence is quiet, but important, and I prefer it that way. And it's really nice when you see a project that you worked on for a number of years come to fruition or be completed, and especially the infrastructure projects, and you walk by them and you think, you know, my team and I have had something to do with that. It's beyond gratifying.
There's definitely something about letting the work that comes out of it speak for itself. That's really exciting.
Or when you're able to do something and or you get a bill passed, or you're part of a legislative change, and you know that it's making somebody's life better. That is an unparalleled feeling. And that's part of what I really do enjoy and love about my job.
Was it something that you kind of knew going into it that you wanted? That kind of letting the work speak for itself?
Absolutely, but I wouldn't say that I was intentional on that, and or that I even understood that as I embarked on the job. For me, these last two roles, I was asked to serve. And I accepted, and that's why, civil servants do the work. You don't ever really go into it thinking this is what I'm going to get out of it, or this is what I'm going to be able to do, but you know that your reach, will be broad, and you go into the work with your heart, so to speak. And you have to operate with a high level of integrity. And you do the best you can every day.
And we have a lot of students here who are really involved in service and in doing work in the Geneva community, and people who want to go on to do similar work that you're doing. What advice would you have to those students who want to serve and are trying to find kind of a way in for that?
I would say that it takes a very special person to work, I think, in government, especially at an entry level, and you're certainly not in this line of work for money, but the experience is everything. And I would say that the more well-read you are, and if you have project management skills and things that you could do while you're at the colleges to help develop those skills, and being a good writer is really important. I would really focus on the academics, and being organized, and strategic, like developing strategic skills and evaluative and quantitative skills. My advice would be to sort of focus on that. And if there are electives or online courses that you can do over the summer, where you can learn project management, I think that those are really critical skills to have.
And are those things that you kind of started to develop at HWS when you were working in the dean's office or with student government or even serving as a student trustee?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely, those are skills that I began to develop and have refined over the years, but definitely began to develop them when I was at the colleges. Certainly working in the dean's office where there are lots of rules and protocols and procedures that have to be followed. And all of those things and experiences have really served me well career-wise.
I'm also wondering, kind of going back even a little bit farther, why did you choose HWS initially when you were looking at colleges?
That's an interesting question. So I grew up in New York City. I always thought that I would go to a large university, and was not looking at liberal arts schools or anything that wasn't in an urban area. And I had a dean in my high school who was a Hobart alum, who pulled me aside one day to ask where I was, you know, applying to school. And he suggested that I apply to William Smith. And he told me that he went to this great college, and that he felt that I would be a good fit for that environment, and that it would be a good fit for me. And he gave me a brochure, and I promised him that I would look into it and consider it. I had no idea where Geneva, New York was. And when I learned that it was, you know, 5 or 6 hour drive away from my parents, I thought, there's no way this will ever work. But I applied and I got accepted, and I was very much on the fence. And my dean at the time suggested that I visit, and he says, just give it a chance and visit, and when you come back, we'll have a talk. And so this dean actually paid for my Amtrak ticket to visit the colleges. And I went in April on an accepted student weekend and came back and thought, wow, he was right. And so when I returned to school, he asked, what do you think? I said, you were right. That's where I'm going. This is it. So when I visited the colleges, everything sort of clicked. It felt right. And I thought, wow, who would have thought it was the right place? And clearly it was.
I think that's fantastic, because it's a great story of showing, you know, the different connections that people make having both attended Hobart and William Smith and when they're coming here and at the school.
It's such a special place. It really, really is. One of my sisters is actually a William Smith alumna as well. So we have a nice little family connection now.
That's fantastic. I think it also leads really well into the final question that we like to ask on the show, which is, what advice would you, knowing what you know now, give your younger self, that high school student who's taking the Amtrak up to Hobart and William Smith, or who's just graduated, or even who's still at the school? What advice would you give them?
I would give a couple of pieces of advice. Try to explore as much as you can academically so that you can make the absolute best choice for yourself for what to study. I would also say take your graduate school entrance exams in your junior year or senior year so that you have options in the future so that you can go to grad school. Those board exams last for 5 years. And it is very difficult to study and to try to apply to grad school once you're working full time. So if you could get half of the work done out of the way and have a plan for yourself, I think that that's being very strategic. And I would say go abroad while you are in school. I did not do that. And I love to travel. And if I had understood more clearly that those opportunities were available to all students, I would have capitalized on that. So those are three pieces of advice.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Aloisi. Thank you so much for being on the show today and chatting with me.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Aloisi Heredia-Jarmaszuk from the classes of 1998 on air with Career Journeys. Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts, and to check out more information, head over to hwsherald.com/podcast. Career Journeys is a co-production of The Herald, the campus newspaper of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, and the Salisbury Center for Career Services. Our show is produced by Alex Karai with scheduling and coordination assistance from Brandy Ferreira. Theme music is from Alex Karai and recorded with Kelly Walker. Our thanks to Brandy Ferreira and the Salisbury Center for Career, Professional, and Experiential Education, Bob O'Connor in the Office of Advancement, Kathy Williams, Mary LeClaire, and Peggy Kwalik from the Office of Communications, Greg Cotterill and Kelly Walker from WEOS, and Grace Rubel from The Herald. Our show was created by Alex Karai and Brandy Ferreira, recorded in studio at the Scanlon Campus Center on the campus of Hobart and William Smith Colleges, with Aloisi Heredia Jarmusch calling in from New York. I'm Alex Karai, and you've been listening to Career Journeys.